Good Monday morning. I hope everyone had a pleasant night's rest. If you have any problems, see Sister Thelma. Let us raise our voices in singing to begin our morning by singing of hymn 78. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys. Hymn 78.
Our Lord God, we approach you thankful for this week that you've allowed us to come apart, to remember your Son, to study your word, hear words of encouragement. We ask that you have mercy upon us, forgive us of our sins, guide and direct us in all that we do. We ask that you be with our teachers this morning and throughout the week, that they help us think and walk in a manner that glorifies your name. Please be with those that are sick and in trouble, those in need of your healing hand. And we pray for your Son's soon return, for your kingdom to be established upon this earth, and if it be your will to have each of us enter into that kingdom. These things we ask only if it be your will, through Christ's name. Amen.
Jason Hagen, definite relation, is to bring us the morning exhortation. And he has no reading, which he will get into, but his title is Long-Suffering. Brother Jason.
Hopefully the keyboard works. So the second row here, it stops working. You can just slouch down in your seat there, and maybe it'll work better. I'll bring you greetings from San Antonio. We're going to try and condense an hour-long exhortation into 15, 20 minutes. So the only thing I'll ask you to do is read what's on the slide. I'm not going to read the slide. I'm just going to read the commentary that I have for it. So in the fruits of the Spirit, the third fruit is that of long-suffering, or patient endurance through trials. And the theme of our week, Micah 4 and 5, talks about that. It is about the hope of walking in the name of the Lord forever, because one of the fruits within us is that starts out as hupomone, but it is to grow into long-suffering. So in James chapter 5, there's a section on patience and suffering. And Job is noted, as we all know, to have patience. But in James 5, he explains the meaning of patience is not just what we use in the English language. It is also long-suffering, or macrothumio. So throughout this verse, or this chapter here, he's talking in macrothumio until he gets to Job, and then he says hupomone. So there's 25 scriptures that talk about macrothumio, which is the slow venting of air through the nostrils, or that is peace. Hupomone is patience, though. It is being steadfast. And Barclay says this is one of the most noble of words, and that it is a form of patience that is related to tribulation and hope, or that is our fiery trials that purify us. It is also an idea of one that expects a better dawn and a new day from within the darkness with which we are passing through. It is to have a full trust of God, knowing and believing that God worketh all things for good, Romans 8 and 28. But we always seem to forget the last part of that verse, which says, to them who love him, or to them who are actively glorifying his name and growing from hupomone to macrothumia. So again, why the difference? Here we have an image of Job before his friends. Our common understanding of patience of Job is not his long suffering, but his hupomone. He learned macrothumia, or long suffering, through the suffering of his friends. And so we could say that about our brethren and sister around us and those of the world. So the idea that is conveyed here is we must actively be glorifying God, actively be working against the things of the flesh, and being ambassadors of light, working towards the long-suffering nature that our Master presented. Job was patient in his physical sufferings for sure, but with his friends, his implied attitude was really or seriously, something we commonly use today. And anybody who's seen The Sandlot or is familiar with it, my son has the t-shirt, it says, "You're killing me, Smalls," to the kid in the outfield who can't seem to catch the fly ball. And so we commonly use that phrase today, and I've heard some of the young people, and maybe some of the older ones as well, use a variation of this already this week. So Job said, "Really?" whenever his friends were lecturing him and giving him speeches about his problems. The patience he had was not enduring. It was enduring through the physical pain, but not long-suffering and macrothumio. He learned this through his trials, as we see in the book. How many of us daily look down our noses or throw up our hands and say, "Really?" or "Seriously?" towards those around us, implying, "You're killing me, Smalls. It's your problem, not mine." When we have classified ourselves as being more patient than those we must deal with, in quotes, we are clearly expressing that we are not patient, much less long-suffering. Job finally prayed for his friends rather than rebuking and snapping back at them in his defense. So really is something we also easily say of our erring brethren. Note the phrase "erring brethren," because of our inability to see as our Heavenly Father sees them. We will not persuade anyone who we view as erring and by saying "really" in our perspective of them, but only through humility and confession to one another and through prayer. Also, James concludes in this chapter 5, "Is any afflicted? Let him pray." Why? So that not only the individual may be healed, but they that ye may grow in righteousness of long-suffering, from hupomone to macrothumia. Just as Christ, who long-sufferingly said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," as they ripped his garments and filleted him like a fish. Similarly, in Matthew 5:45, we are told to pray that we might be the children of your Father, or sons of God. Why? It's not just for the reward that is put before us, but it's because you don't know the entire story of what is going on in someone's head or behind closed doors. Only our Father does. "And his vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is not ours to judge," and say, "Really." James also continues in that chapter and says that we should swear not at all, because usually whenever we are not being long-suffering, we're the next thing that follows is that we end up swearing, or at least in our minds have an extreme aggravation that builds into anger. So how do we express this whenever we get to this point of our emotional expression? What we're really doing is expressing how big we are. But what we're really saying by our loud, boisterous words is how small we are. James says, "Show me thy faith, and I will show you my faith by my works." So those who were the Pharisees and the Sadducees were showing their faith with their loud mouths, while James says, "I will show you it by my deeds." Swearing and anger are a sign of our spiritual and emotional immaturity. Hupomone is never used in the scriptures whenever it refers to God, only macrothumio, for he is long-suffering always, and so it should be of his children as well. 1 Peter 3:20, God was long-suffering for the 7 souls that would be added to Noah's family. However, his anger did not last forever. His long-suffering did not last forever, and his anger unfolded upon all the earth as he flooded it. Many of the emotionally disturbed today by psychologists and counselors have been defined as having repressed anger issues, which thereby is vented inappropriately. Venting should not be done in this manner, but rather as we are commanded to confess to our brethren or to our trusted friend, or as we have read earlier, to be slow and compassionate, to exhale through the nose slowly. not in anger and gossip or other damaging ways, but as we have just read, in prayer, as David exhibited, who was known as a man after God's own heart, Psalms 7:8-11. Proverbs 29:11 is also translated, a wise man calms it back or dials it down. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not, to have control. So a sign of growth, as the quote there from F. Scott Fitzgerald is, or a sign of intelligence, is one who can hold two ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Be long-suffering. So the question to ourselves is, are we fools who have opened our mouth, our loud mouths, and removed all doubt? Or are we long-suffering and slow to speak and slow to wrath? James 1:19. And he continues in verse 21, to lay apart all filthiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Calm it back, govern your flesh, and grow into the Spirit. God is long-suffering. God is forgiveness. God is atonement. So whenever we have these ideas that are on screen in our minds and have not forgiven, we must remember that God has forgiven us and has provided a way to atone for us. So the opposite of love, of long-suffering, is anger. Anger is meant to be fuel, not just a byproduct of what we are experiencing or our circumstances around you, as the world would say. Anger is provided to us as motivation, for the Lord expresses anger in the Scriptures. Yet his anger is well justified and has suffered long before he has unleashed it. Maybe that is why so many like the film's Star Wars, as it expresses truths throughout it that many have great difficulty in overcoming. Fear is the root of anger and the opposite of what we are instructed to have, which is trust. If we trust in the Lord, then fear, hate, and suffering cannot be found within us. No, that's not me. So we must use the fuel that anger provides us and let it out slowly. That is macrothumia. Anger is a fire that consumes the soul of the angry. We are told to never let the sun go down on your wrath. So we are told to let it go, as Pixar states, and I'll show in a minute, or it will consume you and not the one who your fleshly heart believes is at fault. The fault of anger is your own blindness, or scotoma, as Brother Brian Forbes likes to put it, and the inability to forgive another. Is this not true, especially of our marriage relationships, naturally speaking? Then how much more so does it pertain to us as the bride to the bridegroom? Are we the long-suffering, virtuous woman, and are we strengthening one another or tearing one another down? Cain was one of the first to exhibit such wrath and anger. Esau was another. Esau, however, was really angry with his mother, Rebekah, who directed Jacob to get the birthright. Cain's anger really was at God, yet he killed his brother Abel. And more often than not, it is our foolish pride that misdirects our anger from ourselves and our responsibility and places it upon another. So as we said a moment ago, let it go. To forgive is to set aside, set a prisoner free, and discover the prisoner was you. So is it imperative to be long-suffering and to find persuading words, as Paul tells us in Acts, that those who see you see the truth and the light, and that it is all around us. As 2 Timothy 3:5 says, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. There are many in the world who exhibit the truth and light, but they do not understand the foundation and doctrine. And if we do not have long-suffering, we will not have the persuasion power to convince them otherwise. Brother Wilton always says, a little paint covers a multitude of sins. Fail forward, don't look back. Why? Because if we truly love God, he is working all things for our good, as any father does. And that anger we feel is really supposed to be the fuel that drives us forward to grow our righteousness and our long-suffering, to become sons of God. If you don't spread a little paint over others, it will not be spread over you either. So therefore, choose joy, choose peace, which will bring you to long-suffering. Forgive others not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. Because peace and love is what will rule, not anger and wrath and unforgiveness. Forgive others, but most importantly, forgive yourself. Because unforgiveness is like drinking a cup of poison and expecting it to hurt someone else. Choose joy and peace that hupomon may be found to grow into macrothumia and grow into a son of God. So finally, Psalms 86 and 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Proverbs 16 and 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So be like our Father, who is long-suffering, and ruleth his spirit, and rule your own. Practice patience, or hupomone, that you may grow into macrothumia and be long-suffering. Thank you.
We'll have to learn that as we go. Patience is not something that's learned immediately. It takes time. We'll dismiss to classes.